Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The rezoning of this city will probably be the thing that has as much impact on the future of our city as the improvements in education.
Wow, as much impact as education. That, of course, was Mayor Bloomberg thinking ahead to his legacy. And our 30 Issues in 30 Days Development Week continues for New York. Next week, development issues all 5 days in the New Jersey governor's race. A discussion about zoning and the rezoning of New York City today in the context of the mayoral race. And again, you can help produce this week and next week. We have Development Week wikis on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. This is part of the open source nature of our election coverage. You nominated issues. You voted on issues for 30 Issues in 30 Days. Now we're inviting you to help produce the segments. We have fields there where you can propose guests, propose research materials, propose sound bites, propose even language that comes out of my mouth, questions and scripts. So many of you in New York and New Jersey are affected by development issues of many types. So go participate in the wiki. Help inform the journalism that's going to take place here, with most of it yet to come over the next 10 days or so. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. You'll see how to do it. It's really easy. So, zoning and rezoning. To explain how the city's zoning has changed over the last 8 years, our first guest is Vicki Bean, director of the Furman Center for Real Estate and Urban Policy at NYU. In a minute, we'll also be joined by Adam Friedman, director of the Pratt Center for Community Development, and Julia Vitullo-Martin, director of the Center for Urban Innovation at the Regional Plan Association. They'll take on the Bloomberg and Thompson records on development. But first, what do we mean by all this? So, Vicki Bean, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
And what are we talking about? When we say rezoning or upzoning, what are those?
Well, a rezoning, so all of the city's land is put into a category, residential, manufacturing, commercial, and within those categories, it's given a maximum, what's called the FAR, the floor area ratio, which is the maximum amount that the lot could be built at. Mm-hmm. So all of that is spelled out in the text of the zoning resolution and the zoning map. The last time that the zoning resolution and zoning map were changed comprehensively was 1961. So what happens now is you can either change it comprehensively or you can change it piecemeal, and that's what a rezoning does, is it essentially amends the zoning map and the zoning resolution.
And so, for example, we were talking about the upzoning of 125th Street with Reverend Billy. What is upzoning?
So upzoning means that it's zoned less restrictively for the developer so that the developer can build more on a particular piece of property. So an upzoning gives the property owner or the developer more capability to do things, right? More floor area ratio or a broader set of uses that could be put on the property, whereas a downzoning takes away those rights and limits and prohibits more on the piece of property.
The number I've been reading is 20 or more than 20 rezonings since Mayor Bloomberg took office in 2002. Historically, is that a lot? Is that more rezonings than in the 8 years of the Giuliani administration, say?
Well, so the actual number of rezonings is even much higher. It's almost 100 for the Bloomberg administration. But the 20% figure that you often hear is the percentage of the city's land that has been rezoned.
Uh-huh.
We've done our own independent calculation, and we show that about 28% of the city's lots have been rezoned in the Bloomberg between 2003 and 2007.
And what are some of the big ones?
Well, Williamsburg Green Point is a big one that many people are aware of. Really, they're all over. So the areas that have seen of the areas that have been rezoned, the lots tend to fall in Queens. About 23% of all the lots that have been rezoned have fallen in Queens. About 22% have fallen in the Bronx. Manhattan is actually the lowest. Only about 7% of the lot area that's been rezoned is in Manhattan. So the big rezonings are really, in each of the boroughs. It's not just a one borough phenomenon.
And what has the mayor actually been after? If it's less restrictive rules for the most part on the square footage, as you were describing it, is he trying to enable certain kinds of businesses to grow? Or is this for developers of luxury condos for the most part? What's the goal here?
Well, I think the mayor and Amanda Burden, who's commissioner of the City Planning Commission, have said that they are rezoning in part to, as part of the Plan NYC or Plan 2030 process that estimates that we're going to have 1 million new New Yorkers by 2030, and we need housing for those New Yorkers, and we need, spaces for them to live, spaces for them to work. So the idea is to both, sort of rationalize the zoning in terms of we need to try to provide more capacity in areas that can absorb that capacity, so areas need near transit stations, for example. And then there's also been, although one often just hears about the upzonings, one shouldn't forget that there are also downzonings. And the downzonings, which make things more restrictive, the justification that's been given for that is these are areas that don't have the infrastructure capacity, that have a particular community character that would be threatened by out of context or out of scale development. So it's important to keep in mind that both rezonings have included both upzonings and downzoning.
So the preservationists would be responsible for most of the downzoning?
Well, preservationists in the sense of historic preservation, yes, but also preservationists in the sense of I like my community the way it is.
So what are some neighborhoods, if you know them, off the top of your head that have been downzoned by this mayor?
Well, some of the more single-family or sort of low-density areas of Queens have been downzoned, some in Staten Island. So it's tended to be the lower-density neighborhoods throughout the city.
Does the controller have a role in this process at all? We've, of course, been talking about Mayor Bloomberg's record and trying to push this. When we try to assess Bill Thompson, does the controller have any oversight capacity when the rezonings are being deliberated or once they've been passed?
No. The city's land use process involves the community boards, the borough presidents, the Department of City Planning, the City Planning Commission, the City Council, and the mayor, but does not involve the comptroller.
I'm not going to accept that no too easily, but I'm going to bring it up again with our next guests. And I want to thank Vicki Bean, director of the Furman Center for Real Estate and Urban Policy at NYU, for giving us the basics on the rezoning of New York over the last 8 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And joining me now are Adam Friedman, director of the Pratt Center for Community Development, and Julia Vitullo-Martin, director of the Center for Urban Innovation at the Regional Plan Association, with me now to discuss the candidates' records on development and zoning. Welcome, Adam and Julia.
Hi there.
Thank you.
So we're talking about a lot of rezoning, as we've been hearing, upwards of 100 particular neighborhood rezonings. And here's another clip of Mayor Bloomberg on the scope of the zoning changes that he has fostered.
We secured approval for the rezoning of nearly 6,000 city blocks. That's nearly one-sixth of the area of New York City. More rezoning in the past 6 years than has been achieved since 1961 under the past six mayors combined.
And listeners, we'll start including your calls in just a minute. Has your neighborhood been rezoned? Have you been aware of it? And if so, for better or for worse, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Adam Friedman, let me go back to the why question. We asked Vicki Bean as she was doing her excellent primer there, but what's your understanding of why the Bloomberg administration has focused so much on rezonings? You hear the pride in his voice, like this is one of his major accomplishments.
Well, because what he's done in a lot of ways is really set the stage for the next generation or several generations of development in New York City. This is really the foundation for what our city is going to look like for the next 50 years or beyond that. And to go back to sort of how you set up the introduction to this program and Vicky's comments about more than 20% of the land area has been rezoned, that's such a significant part of our city. What this discussion is really about is the vision of the city. What's our city going to look like moving forward? And sort of what are the things that we want to see incorporated in our city? And that goes for affordable housing, what type of jobs we want to have, the diversity of uses that have made our city historically special and more competitive. How is that reflected in the zoning or not reflected in the zoning? It's really about what's your vision for the future.
And Julia Vatula-Martin, does this really come down to his vision for the future being a massive housing construction plan?
Well, let me just say something about Mayor Bloomberg and your question about his major accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of his major accomplishments. Zoning can act as a dead hand on neighborhoods when a neighborhood is improperly zoned for the economic uses that are available. And we think of New York as being a city that's very dense and vibrant and in which we use all of our land efficiently. But the truth is, huge sections of New York have been improperly zoned for decades, even before the 1961 rezoning. And, you know, you see it when you drive throughout the boroughs. You see all this vacant and underused land. And much of the vacant and underused land is that way because there is no economic use for it. And Vicky had made the point that when you had asked her about different neighborhoods, she had said, well, very little of the rezoning proportionately has been in Manhattan. Most of it has been in the boroughs. And the reason much of it has been in the boroughs is the boroughs have a great deal of underdeveloped land. And that's what Mayor Bloomberg's trying to correct.
Bill in Williamsburg. Williamsburg
yes.
is a neighborhood that has come up already as a major rezoning site. Hi, Bill.
Hi, it's Phil, by the way.
Phil, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So tell us about your neighborhood.
Well, you know, basically I just wanted to, rather than pass any kind of judgment on what the benefits of this rezoning is going to be, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the experience that I've had living in this neighborhood for over 20 years and what this rezoning has meant to a lot of the original sort of pioneer artists that have come to this neighborhood. And my point really is that basically the people that have come here that helped create Williamsburg as a point of destination, as a culturally rich and diverse neighborhood, a lot of the artists, the sculptors, the musicians, the writers, all of those people that made it desirable have been extremely adversely affected by this development. And I just want to talk about one case in point. Back in 1987, a very good friend of mine and his brother came out to Williamsburg. They took over an old meatpacking plant and basically turned it into a recording studio. And essentially, they put 20 years of their life into the business. Well, when the 20-year lease was up, the landlord basically said to them, look, I'm basically going to quadruple your rent. So if you want to stay, it's going to cost you three or four times what it's costing you now. So my friend basically was forced to close his business. You know, I helped him basically sell off, you know, all of the parts of his business, the office supplies, things like that. And it was just like a wake. It was like a mortuary. There were all these newbies that were kind of coming in, and you know, it was a bit of an ambulance chase in a sense.
And Bill, I'm going to leave it there, and that's a very clear and dramatic story. And Julia Vatula-Martin, as a fan, I think, of Mayor Bloomberg's rezoning, you know, we could take calls like that all day from Williamsburg. Did he do the right thing in that neighborhood, in your opinion?
I think he did do the right thing. That is prime. That land is prime residential land. It's a very vibrant neighborhood. It has a very nice mix of retail and industry and jobs. It's a place people want to live. And the old zoning prevented the kind of natural development that will now occur. Now, when a rezoning happens, there are frequently negative consequences for some segment of the economy, and under American capitalism, that frequently means those who have to lease rather than those who own the property.
And that's it? Too bad? Pioneers, artists, people who created the culture of Williamsburg?
No, it's not it too bad, but it is to say that zoning is one tool among many tools, and the city has other policies by which it can intervene to help this kind of situation if it wants to. Zoning is something of a blunderbuss and has always been a blunderbuss. So zoning is not the appropriate economic tool for this caller's friend's problem.
Kelly in Lefferts Garden. You're on WNYC.
Anyone there?
Kelly?
Yes, hi. I just wanted to comment. Well, in my neighborhood, they've torn down a beautiful old building right near the Q train at Prospect Park. And they've zoned it to put up a 26-story high-rise. And in my neighborhood, I think the tallest building is only six stories. So not only is it completely out of scale with the neighborhood, but they've torn down a beautiful building that, you know, they don't make buildings like that anymore. It's a shame. And I think that adds to the character of New York City, is the amazing architecture and the unique architecture of this city. And to tear something like that down is a tragedy.
Adam, you want to get in on this? Adam Friedman?
Well, actually, I'd like to go back to the prior question about Greenpoint and Williamsburg, because I think it really gets to the heart of what the discussion is about and how you use zoning as a tool for affecting policy. Those anecdote about there was this underutilized space, his friends came in and they created a new use for that was in keeping with the existing zoning. It shows that Julia's first point about the mayor rezoned all this underutilized space isn't always the case, because it was originally underutilized, a new economic use developed, and here was this industrial zoned land which could still be used for recording studios and for artist uses. And what made Greenpoint Williamsburg such a fabulous, attractive community was the diversity of uses and diversity of spaces that existed there. And what the new zoning does not do is incorporate any mechanisms for preserving that diversity of uses. That's what leads to creativity. That's what leads to a creative economy and to stimulation. And that's one
actually,
of the things.
Actually, Adam, can I leap in here to say I actually agree with you about that. Mm-hmm. I think one of the problems with the 1961 zoning was that it destroyed New York's traditional development pattern, which permitted manufacturing and industrial uses to be alongside residential uses, and something that other cities are doing that we have very little of in New York is work-live zoning. Mm-hmm. We have it in Red Hook and in a few very limited areas, but
So Adam, you were formerly the director of the New York Industrial Retention Network, an organization that advocates strengthening the manufacturing mm-hmm. sector in New York. Do you think the rezonings have pushed out manufacturing capacity, even as they've created the opportunity for new housing development?
Sure. And I appreciate that it's a very delicate balance, but over the past 6 years, more than 20 million square feet of industrial space has been rezoned to accommodate residential development. And if you were to go around to the industrial business zones, which are sort of like the city's industrial parks, in each one, the vacancy rate is well under 5%. If you were to go to the Brooklyn Navy Yard, there's zero vacant space. So there's tremendous demand for manufacturing space in New York City.
Do you think manufacturing would come back to New York if there was just more space?
I think that further loss is to some degree self-inflicted. Everyone talks about green-collar jobs. What do you think a green-collar job really is, right? It's often a different way of taking an industrial process that has existed for 100 years and retooling it to change the materials, to make it more energy efficient. If we are going to have green-collar jobs, we have to have a place to put them.
But Doug mm-hmm. in the Northwest Bronx is not thrilled about some development that's for, I guess, the commercial sector that's taking place in his neighborhood. Doug?
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I'm working with a group called CARA, Kingsbridge Armory Redevelopment Alliance. The city's plan is to put a shopping mall in the Kingsbridge Armory. It's a 600,000-foot square foot building. And we've been negotiating with them to try to have a community benefits agreement that it would have, you know, right now they're planning 1,200 jobs, 30 hours a week with no benefits. You know, we need better jobs than that in the Bronx. I mean, we got half our people are paying half their income in rent.
So because we're running out of time, I'm going to throw this right back to Adam Friedman. Adam, that's not manufacturing, but it is creation of commercial space and jobs. Mm-hmm. Doug says he doesn't want that kind of job. Is that also a zoning issue? And you know, is that a good thing in your opinion?
There is currently kind of a bifurcation about how we treat the quality of the jobs that go into the space that's created under whatever provision of the zoning resolution, and a resistance to looking at that. Of course, it should be part of it. You know, land is one of our most precious resources, so we have to think about how we allocate that incredibly precious resource. And you wouldn't want to do it for something that really isn't fundamentally good for that community or for the city, which would be a low-wage job. And it's tricky. You know, I don't want to oversimplify it because the uses change. The businesses change over time, and you've got to figure out some way of making those benefits, those high-quality job requirements, run with the property.
Now, Julia Vitullo-Martin, we want to compare the candidates, not just assess the mayor's record on zoning. And this is from Bill Thompson's campaign website under what he would do to help small business. One, create new zoning tools, such as retail retention zones that restrict the type and size of retail establishments in targeted areas in order to prevent large national chains from putting locally owned retail establishments out of business. Two, incentivize property owners to keep rents low by using financial tools like real estate tax abatements and commercial rent tax special reductions developed by the Downtown Alliance and approved for the New York City by the New York City Department of Finance. So how different is this from what Mayor Bloomberg has done? What does that mean in plain English to a voter, that he's going to do a 180 on the kind of rezonings that Mayor Bloomberg has been engaged in and holds as one of his proudest accomplishments, or not really?
It's more not really. I think where Comptroller Thompson is going is on the retail proposal anyway, in the wrong direction. I personally would like to see substantially more retail allowed all over the city. What happens right now is many retailers are finding when their leases expire that they're subject to tremendous increases in the rents, and I would like to see one solution for that to be a tremendous expansion in the amount of retail zoning that New York's got. I think from what you read, Comptroller Thompson's going in a restrictive rather than
expansive
direction.
And could he, in your opinion, Adam Friedman from Pratt, have done more as controller to stop Mayor Bloomberg's massive rezoning of New York City if he was in fact concerned about it all these years? Doesn't the controller have the power through his auditing function to look at the impact on neighborhoods, finances, on city finances, and say, you know, this is good or bad?
I believe the controller can do programmatic audits, and he can certainly look at the impact of various zoning changes and the extent to which they were accurately reflected in the projections that city planning produced. And then there's, of course, nothing to stop a citywide elected official from commenting on any issue. But he doesn't have any sort of formal role to play in the EULR process the way Vicky was describing it at the beginning.
So what do you make of his record in this area, given what I guess we would take as his silence as all this was going on? Adam?
You know, I really can't say. It wasn't his function as controller to do that. You know, it wasn't the mission of the office.
He sits on the city's Industrial Development Agency, and before he was running for mayor, he was a relatively quiet member. He's spoken up more recently on the board of the IDA, the Industrial Development Agency. He came out strongly against the way the mayor handled the Yankee Stadium project, so that's one that he spoke about. He rejected issuing tax-free bonds to Yankee Stadium. Is he trying to position himself further away from developers now than he did over time, Julia?
I think it's hard to draw a conclusion one way or the other.
All right, so Adam, in our last minute here, is he going to be much different if he's elected? This is, you know, we're talking about rezoning in the context of a mayoral race. Do we have enough indication to say Bill Thompson is going to continue this expansive zoning, or Bill Thompson is going to be significantly more restrictive? Is this an issue on which on which voters have a real choice?
I'm not sure that at this point he's said enough to really say, but there's plenty of time left, and we would certainly love to hear how he will use zoning for affordable housing, for stimulating the economy, for preserving the diversity of the city. I think that's something that he could certainly speak to.
Well, guess what? He's going to be here on Thursday, so we'll ask him that question. And that's it for Issue 7 in our 30 Issues in 30 Days mayoral and New Jersey gubernatorial election series. Today on the rezoning of New York, Adam Friedman, director of the Pratt Center for Community Development, Julia Vitullo-Martin, director of the Center for Urban Innovation at the Regional Plan Association. Thank you both very,
thank you.
Much.
Thanks very much.
And remember, everybody, as the series continues for New York City this week and for New Jersey all of next week, we invite your participation on our Development Issues Wiki at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.